Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is our cybersecurity analyst, Sarah. It is Tuesday, June 8th, 2026, and this is Volume 1, Issue 37.
Hey everyone, glad to be here, and I'll say up front, this week is not a light week.
Not even close. Today we are covering a spyware firm caught defying a federal court order. Again, a critical VPN vulnerability that is actively being exploited right now. The very real crisis AI-generated phishing is creating for security teams everywhere. And what a GitHub worm and an Android Zero Day mean for your business.
We have got the government alerts translated into plain English, a small business corner on software supply chain risks, a practical tech tip on zero trust access, and we wrap up with Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation at the CTO's desk.
A lot of ground to cover. Let's get into it. All right. Top threats. Story number one. And honestly, this one has a little bit of everything. Spyware, a court order, and a company that apparently does not care about either. Meta this week announced it detected and blocked a new round of spear phishing attempts that is highly targeted, personalized phishing, linked directly to NSO Group, the Israeli firm behind the Pegasus spyware.
And just so listeners have context here, NSO Group was sued by Meta back in 2021 over Pegasus being used to target WhatsApp users. They lost. A federal judge issued a permanent injunction, meaning a court order saying you are permanently forbidden from doing this. And now Meta is filing a contempt order because NSO Group allegedly violated that injunction.
So they got taken to court, they lost, the judge said never again, and they apparently tried again anyway.
That is the allegation, yes. And look, NSO has always positioned itself as a tool for legitimate government surveillance. They sell to governments, they say it's for catching criminals and terrorists. But what we keep seeing is the technology being used well outside those boundaries.
What does this mean practically for a business owner listening right now?
So the direct targeting in this campaign appears aimed at high-value individuals, journalists, executives, diplomats. But here is why every business owner should care. The techniques NSO is refining, spear phishing through messaging apps, credential harvesting, zero-click style exploits, those techniques trickle down. What NSO builds today, criminal groups are often deploying versions of within 18 months.
And WhatsApp is not just a personal app anymore. A lot of small and mid-sized businesses use it for client communication, vendor coordination, internal teams.
Exactly right. So the immediate action here is two things. First, enable WhatsApp's two-step verification. It is literally in settings, account, two-step verification. It adds a PIN that protects your account even if someone captures your login credentials. Second, brief your leadership team, your executives, your sales leads, anyone who talks to clients externally, that WhatsApp messages can be a phishing vector, not just email. Messaging apps are now a primary attack surface.
Simple steps, huge difference. All right, story two. And Sarah, this one, frankly, is the one that demands immediate action from anyone running a VPN, which is most businesses.
Yes. Checkpoint, they make widely used network security and VPN products, issued an urgent warning this week about active exploitation of a critical vulnerability. The CVE is CVE-226-50751. CVSS score of 9.3 out of 10. For context, 9.3 is as serious as it gets before you hit a perfect 10.
Break down what is actually happening here.
Okay, so VPNs, virtual private networks, use something called a key exchange protocol to set up a secure, encrypted tunnel between your employees and your company's network. Think of it like the handshake that happens before you can enter a locked room. There are two versions of this handshake, Ike V1, which is old, from the late 1990s, and Ike V2, which is the current standard.
And the vulnerability is in the old one.
In IKV1, yes. And here's the ugly part. This flaw allows an attacker to completely bypass password authentication. They do not need your employees' passwords. They skip right past them. If your Checkpoint VPN is configured to use IKV1, an attacker can potentially connect to your network as if they are a legitimate user. Active exploitation confirmed. Which means right now, somewhere, attackers are scanning the internet for Checkpoint VPN setups running IKV1 and walking in through this door.
What do you do?
three things in order of urgency. One, if you have Checkpoint Remote Access VPN or mobile access deployed, contact your IT team or your managed security provider today and ask specifically, are we running IKV1? If the answer is yes, that is an emergency. Two, Checkpoint has released a patch. Apply it immediately. Checkpoint's support portal has the advisory under CVE-226-50751. Three, migrate to IV2. This is not optional long-term. IKEV1 is deprecated, meaning it is officially unsupported and should not be used. If this is the first time you're hearing that, now you know.
And if you're a 50-person company and you think VPN vulnerabilities are a big company problem,
they are absolutely not. Small businesses use Checkpoint. Small businesses use VPNs to let remote employees connect. And small businesses are often less likely to have patched, which makes them easier targets. Attackers do not care about your company size. They care about whether your door is open.
Story 3, AI phishing and what it is doing to security teams. This one is a little different because it is not about a single attack. It is about a structural shift in how attacks work.
Right? And this one matters even if you don't have a security team, because the impact eventually lands on every business.
Walk us through it.
So phishing has always been a volume game. Attackers send a million bad emails and hope a few percent of people click. The limiting factor was always quality. A badly written email with typos and weird formatting is easy to spot. That limiting factor is now largely gone because of AI.
Because AI can write convincingly at scale.
Instantly. Attackers are now generating highly personalized, grammatically perfect, contextually relevant phishing emails in bulk. They reference your actual company name, your actual executive's name, the vendor you actually use. That is not a coincidence. They are pulling that context from public sources and feeding it into AI tools.
And this is creating a problem for the people whose job it is to catch these things.
Massive problem. Security operations centers, SOCs, the teams that monitor alerts and respond to threats, have what is called Tier 1 analysts. These are the folks reviewing incoming alerts. Is this phishing real? Is this a false alarm? Does this need escalation? AI-generated phishing is flooding that queue. More convincing emails mean more alerts, more investigation time, more analyst burnout. And burnout leads to mistakes. Something real gets missed because the team is exhausted from chasing volume.
So even if you do not have a SOC, and most 50-person companies don't, why does this matter to you?
Because if you use a managed security provider, their team is under this pressure. Your protection is only as good as their capacity. And if you don't have any security monitoring, you are entirely reliant on your employees catching these emails themselves. And AI phishing is specifically designed to fool humans.
What is the practical response?
Two things. First, deploy email security tools that use behavioral filtering, not just signature-based detection. Tools like Proofpoint, Mimecast, or Microsoft Defender for Office 365 look at the behavior of an email, not just whether a known bad link is in it. Second, this week is a good week to run a phishing simulation with your team. Most security awareness platforms offer them. If your employees have not been tested in the last 6 months, they are overdue.
And story four, briefly, because this is really a cluster of incidents from last week that all connect.
Yes, a quick hit roundup. There was an Android Zero Day. A zero day means a vulnerability that was being actively exploited before the vendor even knew about it. So there was 0 days of warning. If you or your employees use Android devices for work email, work apps, anything, check for and apply all pending Android security updates immediately.
GitHub worm as well.
A worm spreading through GitHub repositories. GitHub is a platform developers use to store and share code. The worm was embedding itself into open source packages and leaking authentication tokens. Think of those as master keys for cloud services. If your developers use GitHub, this connects directly to our small business corner topic later, which is supply chain security.
And Instagram account hijacks. Another reminder that business social media accounts are targets.
Always enable two-factor authentication on every business social account, every single one. Not optional.
All right, government alerts. Sarah, translate what is coming out of the federal side this week.
So the SANS Internet Storm Center, which is one of the best public sources of real-time threat intelligence, has been actively tracking something called the Team PCP Supply Chain Campaign through last week. Let me explain supply chain attack quickly, because it is crucial to understand.
Please do, because it sounds abstract until it isn't.
Imagine you hire a cleaning company to come into your office. You trust them because they come with a referral. But one of their employees has been replaced by someone who wants to steal from you. You never check the cleaning company's staff. You just assume. A software supply chain attack is the same thing. Attackers compromise a piece of software or a code package that your business relies on. When you install or update that software, the malware comes with it. You trusted the source, so you never questioned it.
And Team PCP is an active campaign doing exactly that.
Documented in detail by SANS running through at least last Saturday. If your business uses any third-party software tools, and every business does, this is why vetting your software vendors and keeping an inventory of what you have installed matters enormously.
There's also a specific technique that keeps reappearing, the evil MSI background. This has come up twice in SANS reporting recently.
Yes, and this is a clever one. MSI is a recognizable brand. They make laptops, graphics cards, very popular in business and with developers. Attackers are embedding malware payloads inside image files, wallpapers, backgrounds that are designed to look like legitimate MSI-branded content. So an employee downloads what looks like a desktop wallpaper from a legitimate-seeming site, and the malware is hidden inside that image file.
Do not download software, drivers, or wallpapers from unofficial sites. If you need MSI drivers, go to MSI's official website directly.
And more broadly, this is a good time to remind your team that anything downloaded from the internet is a potential vector. Establish a policy. Software gets installed by IT or the designated person in charge of technology, not individually by employees downloading whatever they find.
Small Business Corner. Sarah, this week is specifically about the software supply chain and a few related strategic topics that SMBs need to hear.
Right, and I want to connect this directly to what we just discussed with Team PCP, because the themes are inseparable.
Start with dependencies. What does that even mean for a non-technical business owner?
Great question. Modern software almost never stands alone. When a developer builds an app, even a small internal tool, it is built using dozens or hundreds of pre-existing code packages called dependencies. Think of it like a recipe that calls for ingredients from various suppliers. If one of those ingredient suppliers has been compromised, your dish is contaminated even though you did not do anything wrong. Very few do. The practical step here is simple but powerful. Ask your IT team or your software vendor one question. Can you give me a software bill of materials? It is sometimes called an SBOM. That is a list of every component your software is built with. More vendors are required to provide these now, especially if you work with government contracts. Having that list means if a compromise is announced, like we are seeing with Team PCP, you can immediately check whether you are exposed.
Zero Trust Network Access also came up this week in new guidance. Translate that for our listeners.
Zero trust is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, but the core principle is simple. Never automatically trust anyone or anything just because they are inside your network. Traditional security was like a castle. Once you got past the drawbridge, you could go anywhere. Zero trust says every person, every device, every application has to prove it should have access every time to only what it specifically needs.
And for a small business, what does actually implementing that look like?
Start small. Two practical things. First, segment your network, meaning do not let every device talk to every other device. Your point of sale system should not be on the same network segment as your employee laptops. Second, implement least privilege access. Employees should only have access to the systems and files they need for their specific job. Not everything. Not because you don't trust your employees, but because if their account gets compromised, the attacker can only go where that employee was allowed.
And a quick word on agentic AI, because this keeps coming up, and businesses are being pitched on it constantly.
Yes, Agentic AI refers to AI systems that do not just answer questions, but take actions autonomously. They browse the web, send emails, execute tasks, make decisions without a human approving each step. The guidance from security professionals this week is simple. Walk before you run. Understand what permissions you are granting to these systems. An AI agent that can send emails on your behalf and access your file system is also an AI agent that, if compromised or manipulated, can do serious damage on your behalf.
Know what you're plugging in before you plug it in.
Exactly.
Tech tip time. And this week we are walking through enabling two-factor authentication on your business social media accounts because we mentioned Instagram hijacking, and this is something every single business owner can do today.
Okay, I am going to walk through this as if you have never done it before, because if you are running a business page and you have not done this yet, this 15 minutes could save your brand.
Start with Instagram, since that was the incident this week.
Open the Instagram app. Go to your profile, bottom right corner. Tap the three horizontal lines, that is the menu, top right. Tap Settings. Tap Account Center. You will see a section called Password and Security. Tap that. Then tap two-factor authentication. Select your account. Instagram will give you options. I recommend choosing an authentication app over text message. Authentication apps like Google Authenticator or Microsoft Authenticator generate a six-digit code that changes every 30 seconds. Text messages can be intercepted, a technique called SIM swapping, but an authenticator app code lives only on your physical device.
And after Instagram,
do the same on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or X, and any other platform where your business has a presence. Each one has a similar path: settings, security, two-factor authentication. The process is nearly identical across all of them.
What about saving backup codes?
Critical point. Every platform will give you a set of backup codes when you set this up. These are one-time use codes in case you lose your phone. Do not skip this step. Print them, store them somewhere physically secure, a locked drawer, a safe, not in a screenshot on your phone. If you lose access to your authenticator app and you do not have those codes, recovering a business account can take days or weeks.
And if you have employees who manage your social accounts,
make sure they also have two-factor enabled on the personal accounts they use to manage business pages. A hacker who compromises your social media manager's personal Instagram login can potentially access your business page through their admin access.
15 minutes. Do it today. CTO's Desk. Each week we bring in perspective from Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation, and Daniel's take this week covers everything we have been discussing, but from a strategic lens. What does this all mean for how leaders should be thinking about cybersecurity investment right now?
And Daniel's perspective this week is sharp, because he connects three separate stories into one coherent business risk picture.
Walk us through it.
Daniel starts with the NSO WhatsApp story and makes a point I think is really worth sitting with. NSO Group was taken to court, lost, given a permanent injunction, and apparently continued the behavior anyway. The lesson Daniel draws is not about NSO specifically. It is about the persistence of threat actors. The people building and deploying these tools are not deterred by legal consequences, by court orders, by public embarrassment. They are motivated by money, by geopolitical interests, by ideology, and that persistence means you cannot rely on the legal system or public accountability to protect you. You have to protect yourself.
In the VPN vulnerability story, Daniel connects that to a theme he has raised before about legacy infrastructure.
Right, and he uses a line I genuinely love. He calls IKV1 the cybersecurity equivalent of using a flip phone in 2026. Charming, but dangerous. And that framing is useful for business owners because it reframes the question. This is not about whether your current setup is working. It is about whether your current setup is defensible. Something can appear to be functioning just fine while being catastrophically vulnerable underneath. IKV1 VPN connections look like they are working. They are not safe.
The audit question Daniel suggests asking your IT team is worth repeating.
He essentially says, at your next technology review, ask your IT provider or internal team to audit for deprecated protocols and end-of-life software. Not just what is working, but what should no longer be running. Those are two very different questions, and most small businesses only ask the first one.
And on AI phishing and alert fatigue, Daniel frames this as a capacity problem, not just a technology problem.
Which I think is exactly right. He makes the point that AI-generated phishing is not just a threat to your employees, it is a threat to your security team's capacity to respond. Every additional convincing phishing email generates analyst work. Volume is weaponized. And his recommendation is clear. Invest in automated triage tools that handle the obvious stuff so your human analysts or your managed security provider's analysts are spending time on the genuinely ambiguous cases that require human judgment.
And for a 50-person company that does not have a dedicated security team,
the equivalent conversation is with your IT provider or your managed security service. Ask them, how are you handling the increase in AI-generated phishing? What tools are you using for automated filtering? If they cannot answer that question confidently, it is worth shopping around.
Daniel also touches on the GitHub worm and the Instagram hijacks with a line that I think captures the entire week. He says basic tricks still worked. The same old mistakes keep showing up.
And that is both humbling and actionable. It is humbling because after everything, all the advanced threats, all the sophisticated campaigns, the most common entry points are still weak passwords, no multi-factor authentication, unpatched software, and employees clicking things they should not have clicked. The fundamentals matter more than any advanced capability.
You do not need a $100,000 security program to fix those four things.
You need time, attention, and a checklist. Most of it is free or very low cost.
All right, let's land this plane. Three most important takeaways from episode 37.
Takeaway 1. Patch your Checkpoint VPN today. If you are running remote access VPN or mobile access on Checkpoint infrastructure, find out right now whether you are using IKV1. If you are, this is an emergency. CVE-226-0751, CVSS-9.3, actively exploited. Patches available. Apply it.
Takeaway 2. Enable two-factor authentication everywhere. WhatsApp, every business social media account, your email platform, your business applications, not on your to-do list for next week. Today.
Takeaway 3. Audit your software and your access. Ask your IT team or vendor for a software bill of materials. Review who has access to what and remove any access that is not actively needed. And ask specifically whether you have any deprecated protocols running. IKV1, TLS 1.0, anything end of life. That one conversation could close doors that attackers are actively looking for.
That is CyberShield Weekly, episode 37. If this episode was useful to you, and I think it was, please subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, leave us a review, and share it with a colleague, a business partner, or anyone running an organization who needs to hear this. This information only helps if it reaches the people who can act on it.
We will be back next Tuesday with the next episode. Stay patched, stay vigilant, and take care of your business.
See you next Tuesday.